Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Can you tell me what the Mariners' budget is? What their payroll is?
It's more than ours, but yeah.
Can you tell me what the Astros spend? I don't look at that. Maybe I should. You know, I know our team doesn't spend as much as the others. But I don't look at that.
Yeah, I don't either. I just know the Yankees have a lot of money. The Dodgers have a lot of money. I'm assuming
Red Sox spend a lot of money.
The Cubs have a lot of money. The White Sox don't spend a lot of money, but they're in a major market. It's kind of like, are you in a major market in some ways?
I kind of is.
You know, the Browns' first win of the season is in the books, and you don't want to miss a minute of the Fan with the latest breaking news from Berea and around the NFL during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
216-474-0092. We're going to take some phone calls here in just a second.
Jeff, we have an undercover agent who is currently listening to our show and Detroit Sports Radio at the same time. You want an update or no?
Sure.
Okay, let me give you one. Their current topic is, how are you coping with the Tigers' free fall versus the Guardians? That's their current topic. Then apparently they're calling us out because our fans are so bad and we are dogging on the Tigers way too much and it's out of hand. And they said they didn't dog on Cleveland all year. Why are they being jerks? I don't know if this
is being jerks.
I don't know. I haven't heard our fans, like, no one's really ripping.
Andy, I feel for the Tigers.
I do too. I don't know why.
I'm glad this has happened.
I'll be honest. Like, I don't know that we've had one phone call in 2 weeks. Like, and the only thing we're saying is
it's stunning.
It's a free fall. It's historic. A free fall for them.
Well, those are just numbers. But it's like, the fact.
I mean, there are words that we could use that are a lot worse that we haven't been using. But I mean, I don't know that anyone has called our show to rip the Tigers. They're lifting up the Guardians. That's why I keep saying, why do people keep? Is it a collapse? I don't look at it as a collapse. I looked at it as an uprising for the Guardians.
It's,
so
it's both.
It is. I agree.
Uprising wouldn't be where it is if it weren't for the collapse.
I'm not dwelling on their collapse.
Well, people are finally paying attention.
Well, you know what? If Detroit had control of their own destiny. They knew that the Guardians were six and a half games back before they started playing these
last week. Yeah.
Right. In the day before they started playing us. So, I mean, Detroit had everything in the world in front of them with a 6.5-game lead at that point. That's how the only reason this is possible is because of the way the schedule fell out.
That's true. ESPN has their power rankings out right now.
Mm-hmm.
The number one team in their power rankings here in week 26.
Yes.
The Milwaukee Brewers. And they're going to be fun to watch in the postseason. Real quick, Milwaukee, Philly, the Dodgers, Toronto, Seattle, Yankees, Cubs, Padres, Red Sox. Then the Guardians up to number 10. They were 14th. They've moved up to 10 in the power rankings. So that's a good thing. But then they've also put out full regular season grades for all MLB teams.
Yep.
I think this is good, and I think it's accurate.
Yeah.
The Brewers get an A. This is full regular season.
Okay.
Brewers get an A. Phillies get an A-.
Mm-hmm.
Jays get an A-. Mariners get a B+. As do the Guardians. They're tied for the fourth highest grade in Major League Baseball for the regular season, according to ESPN. And I get it, but that grade might almost seem too high to me.
Well, I think it's interesting why it's a B+ in there, too, because they were saying in the story, perhaps one of the most memorable regular seasons in Cleveland history. If the Guardians can pull this out, a division title, after the odds of doing so were 0.0 on August 25th. Oh, Blutarski. It is also, is this a good Cleveland team? They said, honestly, it's a mediocre one that's been outscored on the season. Barely now. It's just barely now, but it's truthful. But the Guardians beat up on the teams they had to, 21-6 against the Twins and White Sox, received lights-out pitching down the stretch, and within one win already in their current series against Detroit to put themselves back in a chance to pull off one of the biggest division comebacks in MLB history. This was written yesterday, so...
It's stunning where they are. Honestly, when they talk about a mediocre team, honestly, it's a mediocre team. I don't think there's any question. Offensively, that's generous. By the way, Dano, get ready for the applause. The Guardians no longer have the worst batting average in Major League Baseball. Their 226 is slightly higher than the Angels' 226. So congratulations. You're 29th, baby. Ryan is in Detroit. You're in Detroit today. How convenient, Rhino.
I know, gentlemen. I tell you, man, this was not planned. Obviously, my job had me coming here. I wanted to go to the Browns, and I said, give me Greek Town, give me Windsor, obviously, Friday, Saturday night, whatever. I digress on that. It was a detour from Columbus to Cleveland to go to the game last night. I was actually at the game, too. But I drove here from 8 a.m. to like 10. We're in Detroit, man, and I do not like this area. But I can assure you, on I-75, I did not like the fact that if I had Ohio plates on, I hit my bumper sticker, Ohio State and Guardians and Browns, Cavs stuff I have. With that being said, man, my God, this is just fun. Last night, like you guys alluded to, was just a playoff atmosphere, just fun atmosphere all around. Everyone was high-fiving, feeling like it's October, even though it was still September. And this is just a game of streaks. And you alluded to, obviously, just – Detroit is on the opposite end of it again, and us as avid Guardians fans just relishing in this just rare of rare scenarios, like you keep saying, Jeff, and I'm on board with you too, man. This is just a game of streaks. So I love the fact that it's so ironic we might be the third seed, obviously playing in a wild card game. I don't want any breaks. I want this momentum to keep going. This is just fun atmosphere. With that being said, we still have business in front of us, man, and I don't think that there's anything in front of us that's going to stop us except for ourselves. That being said, man, let the good times roll. Go Guardians.
Rhino, thank you very much. Rhino in Detroit. We do need to remember it's not clinched yet, right? We do need to remember
that. Still
got
a little ways to go here.
Yeah, we do need to remember that. Roger is in Lyndhurst. Hello, Roger.
Hey, Jeff and Andy. How are you?
We are well.
I am too. You know, this is fun. I'm a season ticket holder for 32 years.
Awesome.
And I've seen some bad baseball too, but nothing's wrong with this. I mean, I've been through a lot, and I understand that Ken lost his dad. I just heard, you know, I lost my service dog in February. I'm devastated. But I'm still going to the games. I'm not sitting here and crying about it. So enjoy what you guys have. Because you know what? There was a time when you almost didn't have a baseball team in here.
Roger, that's absolutely right.
That is true.
Keep enjoying, Roger. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
There's Roger in Lyndhurst. 32 years, that's a long time for season tickets.
It's a good resume. It is. It's a good resume.
That is a good resume. By the way, the good resume man, Andrew Siciliano, is coming up at noon.
Yes.
We're going to talk to Andrew at noon. Anthony is in Cleveland Heights. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Ty. Hi, Ty. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to point, you know, there's an illuminating segment or article on MLB.com, I think it was yesterday, pointing out the Guardians' pitching staff. Well, it was a best four rotate bullpens or something article, and you know it's amazing what they pointed out here. Matt Festa was acquired for cash. He's doubled his strikeout rate from the first half to the second half. Jacob Junis, you know, he's on a 1-year deal. He's allowed just 4 runs in the second half. Sabrowski had Tommy John surgery twice. He's got a 2.25 second half ERA.
It's the bionic bullpen, baby.
And Colby Allard, who was released as late as this July,
has increased his strikeout rate from 10% to 24% in the second half. But the point is all that the pitching factory is real. It's absolutely real. And these are guys on small deals that are extremely flexible. If they decide to keep them, they can keep them. And if they decide they'll move on and find somebody else, then that's what they'll do. So that really is just points out how good this front office is, at least at finding and developing pitchers, and frequently ones that are, I don't want to say scrap heap, but they need a little tender loving care. Let's put it that way, right?
Right.
Yep.
And the other thing,
Anthony did it with Ben Lively too.
Yes. Right. Well, there's even guys we're forgetting that they did it with.
Yeah, absolutely true.
The other thing I wanted to point out, I don't know how the analogy I made with a friend online yesterday, and I went to Florida State. I didn't go to Ohio State, but this kind of reminds me of the 2002 Ohio State National Championship team, only in the sort of the narrative sense that what's been going on is you got a challenged offense. In neither case were the offenses superb. Okay. But you have a somewhat challenged offense. But in the case of baseball, pitching and defense, and in the case of Trussell's team, in 2002, defense and special teams, mm-hmm. that just puts a team in a vice grip from the get-go. And they wait until their offense scores, and then they don't relinquish the lead. And it's got to be bewildering and nerve-wracking for the opponents at this point in time.
All right.
Yep. Anthony, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Anthony.
The front office deserves so much credit for putting this team on the field and pitching staff. Again, the offense isn't any great shakes. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not any great shakes, but it's working. And God bless them. And I hope we're talking about baseball games next week. I hope. We're going to talk more baseball later in the show. Andrew Siciliano is coming up at noon. We'll talk a little Odyssey sports betting with Nick Costos at 12:20. Daryl Ryder ahead. But a huge event starts tomorrow, and it's the Ryder Cup, and it's here in our country. It's at Bethpage Black in New York, and a gentleman who's been with us before, Hughes Norton, big-time agent, Tiger Woods, former agent, Hughes is all over it, and he's joining us next to talk Ryder Cup right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner Andy Baskin. Mm-hmm. We have a baseball team that's just been entertaining us like crazy. We have a football team that's coming off a big win. But the biggest event going on maybe worldwide in sports is coming up on Friday. The 45th Ryder Cup begins. It's the USA against the Europeans. It's at Bethpage Black, and that's a public course in New York. And who better to talk about the Ryder Cup than our go-to guy for golf? He's Hughes Norton, the author of Rainmaker. It's out in paperback. Super agent Hughes Norton and the money grab explosion of golf from Tiger to LIV and beyond. Hughes has been with us many times before. He's with us again. Hello, Hughes.
Hi, guys. Nice to be back with you. The book's doing great. Anybody that likes golf, I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure they will. We've seen it. We've read it. We like it. And we love having you on with us. And this is... Though this is a golf event, Hughes, this thing takes on a life of its own. I love watching the Ryder Cup, and these two teams that you have, these guys who play against each other all the time, seemingly don't like each other when they play in the Ryder Cup. What's that all about?
Well, it's flags. It's the United States as a country versus the United Team of Europe. it's something totally different in golf. These guys all selfishly and aggressively play for themselves and every last dollar, 51 weeks a year, actually 102 weeks a year, because we only get the Ryder Cup every 2 years. This is golf as we never see it, guys. I mean, let's just go down the checklist. It's not 156 players as normal or 70 players on the weekend who make the cut. This is 24 players, 12 on each side. So the groups are all packed into a very small space. Meanwhile, you have the same 30,000 or 40,000 people now condensed on an incredibly smaller stage than you normally see on a golf course. Golf etiquette, the polite applause that we're all used to with all the tournaments we watch, out the window. These are rowdy fans on both sides. You know, people have made a lot about the New York fans and the Yankee fan types that are going to show up. Europe's just very similar. You know, it's fans screaming and yelling and wearing their country's colors. And perhaps most important, guys, it's match play. We don't see match play ever. You and I, we play match play every weekend with our buddies, right? Mm-hmm. This is not stroke play. Every hole is an individual event. Doesn't matter if you lose that hole by five shots, you only one down, you go on to the next. And every single time in the Ryder Cup, it must be match play, or maybe the partisan loyalty on both sides, but we have controversy. We have bad or boorish behavior. And I'll tell you right now, there's zero chance there won't be some bad behavior from New York fans this weekend.
Ah, I love it. This is the one time I do like New Yorkers. How's that sound? Hey, let me ask you this. Just reading about the TV coverage on this. So this is like unprecedented coverage because it's not only NBC, it's not only USA Network, but it's Peacock too. And like, right. I was reading stuff, they're going to be flying drones to give us shots. They've got bunker cameras. I'm really pumped just to watch the coverage.
Yeah, and it's indicative of the appeal of it every 2 years, Andy, because it's NBC pulling out all the stops, including, are you ready for this? Partisan broadcasters. NBC has given the green light. They've got Nick Faldo in the booth, and they've got Brad Faxon in the booth.
Oh my.
American and Brit, and they're encouraging them to cheer right on the broadcast.
Wait, are we sure we're talking about golf? This is WWE, is it?
You know, the LIV Tour had this slogan. You guys remember? They came out and said, we're golf, but louder.
Yeah.
No, the Ryder Cup is golf, but much louder.
Super golf agent Hughes Norton joining us. Let's talk specifics here. Last time out, the Europeans won. It was in Rome. The captain was Luke Donald. Luke Donald is back. He's trying to become the first European to win back-to-back Ryder Cups as a captain. And he has 11 of his 12 players from that winning team in 2023 back. How big of an advantage might that be or not an advantage for the European team as they go up against an American team we'll talk about in a second?
I think it's a big deal, Jeff. I mean, they bonded, the European guys, so much with Donald. They all loved him. When he got the cup in 2023 in Rome, before he could even finish his victory speech, the team started chanting, one more time, one more time. The team wanted him back. Now you've got the same guys, except you know who they swapped out? The 12th guy was one Horgaard twin, and now it's the other. We're in the minutiae here, but there's two twins, Europeans, and last year it was one, and this year it's the other. But the same 11 guys, we know them, Tyrrell Hatton, you know, John Rahm, all the Justin Rose, all the stalwarts.
Fleetwood, yeah.
And the American team, is much more new. There's some new guys in there. Will that make a difference or not? I don't know. But you just got to hope. And here's the one caveat with this whole thing. Five straight Ryder Cups and eight of the last 10, the home team has won by 5 to 10 points. So you get to Sunday, the singles matches head to head, and they don't mean much because it's almost over. Yes, there have been dramatic comebacks on Sunday, but we really want to cheer for a close result after the first 2 days so that Sunday really means something. And I'll tell you where Sunday would unbelievably mean something. And I don't think the captains would ever do it. Just for people that don't know, the Sunday singles, Jeff, you're the captain of the U.S. team. Andy, you're the captain of the European team.
Pip,
you each list your 12 players in order, who you want to go first, who you want to go fifth, who you want to go last. And there's a lot of strategy here. Do I save my best guys for last in case we come down to the end and it's really close? or do I, if I play them first, is that better to get the advantage early? So there's a lot of strategy and thinking going on. But as a result, we never see what I, as a fan, would love to see more than anything else, which is Rory McIlroy against Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could happen, but it would only be accidental. So I'm in favor of having the captains cheat a little bit, even if they don't tell anybody, and say, let's make a deal. Let's have Rory and Scheffler go out first.
Wow. That would be fun.
Do they write down 1 through 12 that in and not know who they're going to go up against? Is that how it works?
Absolutely, and that's the drama of it. You don't know. So the assistant captains are conferring with the captain and some of the players. Should we put Fleetwood out first? He's good for a point. No, we might need him, you know, toward the end if we're, you know, all of that stuff. So each side submits the list blind, and then it's revealed on Saturday night. It's really cool.
Hughes Norton joining us, the author of Rainmaker. It's out in paperback. Hughes, longtime golf agent. Keegan Bradley is the youngest American captain since Arnold Palmer back in 1963. He's only 39. He's never done this before. Advantage for Luke Donald, or is that not that big of a deal?
You know, in the end, it's like saying, is Stephen Vogt the reason that they're on a hot streak, the Guardians? Sort of, but Keegan isn't hitting any shots. You know, the boys have to go out there under immense pressure and rowdy fans and win for their country and play well. So I don't think it makes that much difference. However, having said that, I mentioned before, Luke Donald, having done this before with these essentially same 11 guys, I think is a big advantage because he's been there, he's done that, he kind of knows the ins and outs. But again, if his guys don't play well, we're going to have another result like the last few, and here's the other point to remember, guys, an away team, meaning the U.S. when they play in Europe or Europe when they play here like this year, has not won a match away from home since 2012 at Medina.
Wait, let me go back to Keegan Bradley here for a second. He could have picked himself to play, right? He could have been a player coach, if you think about it, or player captain.
Correct. And under the old system, when more guys were automatically picked off the points, they changed it a few years ago and let the captain now pick 6 instead of 4. Keegan would have qualified. It would have been an automatic. There would have been no discussion. So he went back and forth, back and forth. The last playing captain, if you can believe it, was Arnold Palmer back in 1963 for the USA.
Yes.
But that was when America crushed. It was only Great Britain then. It wasn't Europe. And the outcome was predetermined. The U.S. hardly ever lost. So Keegan, I don't know. He was damned if he did and damned if he didn't. If he played himself, chose himself, and they lost, would there be, oh, my God, you shouldn't have tried to do all the duties and play?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't pick himself like now and they lose, people are going to say he was one of the best 12 players. He should have been out there.
Yeah, but Frank Robinson could always step up and hit a home run for himself. Let's not kid ourselves.
We have some familiar names, Hughes, on the American squad. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, captain's picks, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa. Is there anybody who you're thinking might be 1, 2, 3 of the key guys for the Americans?
I'll give you one for sure, just based on history, and it may work against him. Cameron Young is a kid from New Jersey. He had a phenomenal year this year, finally won his first PGA Tour event. He played well last year and actually the year before. And he won the New York State Amateur at Bethpage Black, the course where they're playing. Now, that was years ago, okay? But a New Jersey kid, can you imagine how amped he's going to be to come out at Bethpage Black, which we haven't even talked about, guys. That's one of the monster courses of the entire nation. It is 7,459 yards. Every par 4 is over 440. Of course, that doesn't mean much anymore for these guys. They hit it so far. But it's really an incredible – you know, there's a famous sign in front of Bethpage. I think you two know this. This is how hard the course is. It's a public course.
Yep.
A public course. It's the only public course where the U.S. Open has ever been held. They did it there twice. And the sign at Bethpage Black, there's 4 courses there, different colors, but black is the hard one. Warning – the black course is an extremely difficult course, which we recommend only for highly skilled golfers.
It's like the black diamond when you're going skiing. Yeah. Same thing.
I would
think. And you can play for $80. It's a public course. But there's one problem. Yeah. You have to go get in line. And got you probably have read about this.
Yep. Locals get in line.
They camp out 2 days in advance. So they're in the first five cars. They sleep in their cars. And there are all these rules. You can't leave your car or you get disqualified from the line. I mean, it's amazing. $80.
Wow. That's really pretty cool. What do you think, Hughes? If you're giving the edge, does the home course streak continue, or might this be the time the Europeans can go back-to-back?
Probably not popular. I'm going with the Europeans. I think it kind of lives and dies with McIlroy. You know, McIlroy is such a dynamic, exciting guy. He has slumps. He comes roaring back. You know, he won the Masters, completed the Grand Slam this spring, and really didn't play well for 3 or 4 months later. And now he's kind of back on form. They got the same team back. I know it's tough in front of the away crowds. By the way, one thing Luke Donald has done, he gave each of the team headphones for them to play in when they played their practice rounds at Bethpage last week with trying to simulate the noise and rowdiness and screaming right in their ears the whole time.
Oh, I can't wait.
How pleasant it will be.
It's so great.
Hughes, we thank you for the preview. Nobody better to fill us in on everything that's going on, and now we can't wait to sit back and watch some golf. Thank you, Bob.
It'll be fun, guys. It's such a great event. It's right up there with the majors now. You know, the others have sort of lost their significance, and I think the fact that it's every 2 years makes it really special. I'm going to have a blast watching. I hope you do, too.
I'm sure we will. Hughes, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All the best, guys.
Coming up at noon, Andrew Siciliano, play-by-play man for the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will be joining us, followed by Nick Costos and Daryl Ryder. We're going to talk some Browns coming up. They have a game that, okay, you beat Green Bay. Pretty stunning. You beat Detroit in Detroit? That might shed an entire new light on this season. And I know that's a tough thing to accomplish. I'm Jeff Phelps. This would be Andy Baskin.
You know, you can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima live from 6 to 10 a.m. Subscribe to our channel for free and watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday.
We've talked about this big opening stretch of games for the Browns. How's it gone so far?
I feel like it's 1-1-1. Like, you know, they won one, they lost one, and they probably, I don't know, between game one and game three, probably should have won one. So I'll call it a tie-ish. I don't know. It's been an interesting roller coaster, I would say. I walked out of week one against Cincinnati going, man, they should have won that game, and was just kind of beating my head up about that one. And then all of a sudden, the Ravens are like, oh, boy. And then to come back and win last week in a game that was probably, let's be honest, for 2.5 quarters, was one of the most boring games we've probably ever watched. And then all of a sudden to watch them come back because the defense willed them to a victory. Mm-hmm. That was impressive, especially against the Packers. And this has not been an easy schedule, and it doesn't get any easier. And then after this, you're off to London. So it's like, I want to see what the record is probably after. I don't, even after this week, you're going to have to kind of look at it and go, well, if they're 1-3, ouch. So,
yeah, but if they're 1-3, what did you expect them to be after four games?
To be honest with you, probably 1-3.
Probably 1-3.
Yeah, or 2-2 at the best,
or 0-4.
No, I never thought they would be 0-4 out of the gate. I knew that.
I thought they'd beat the Bengals, though.
Yeah, I thought that was their win, or they would come up with their yearly surprise in Baltimore. But and maybe that was possible. You know, they gave away 21 dumb points in that game. Gave them away. And I do think it's interesting when you look at the Browns defense. And again, I'm telling you, in a week or two, someone's going to go back and look at the Browns schedule and go, how do they give up 41? That defense, how can that defense be any good? They gave up 41 points without knowing the real story behind it.
That's true. I can see that. As unlikely as the whole win over the Green Bay Packers happened to be on Sunday, yet they got it done.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be something, because the Browns defense is going to get a test. Browns right now number one in the NFL, fewest yards allowed. The Detroit Lions, number three in the NFL, putting up almost 395 yards a game in total offense. And this game's on turf. It's in Ford Field. So this is going to be a real challenge for the Browns defense. Can they? I think this will solidify. Are they top three defense in the NFL? I think they are. I think they can be. You know, look at who they've slowed down. I won't say shut down, but you really slowed down Joe Burrow. You could say you shut him down. Baltimore put up all those points. You just mentioned this story, and how different it was. But they took care of Derrick Henry, really slowed him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just did the same to Josh Jacobs for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
The defense gets a real test this week with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
And how clutch was that touchdown against Baltimore the other night? I mean, he just – and it was funny because I'm sure there were people screaming at the TV saying, go down, so they could eat the clock. But, to put him up, well, there were two touchdowns at that point, and then Baltimore was able to come back and score again. And so it was one of those weird places where Montgomery was heading for the end zone. And what would you have done if you were Montgomery? Do you remember the play at the end of the game, his last touchdown? So Montgomery runs towards the end zone. It was probably like a 30-some yard touchdown run or something like that. And they were up, and it would have put him up to Detroit if he got in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
He went into the end zone.
Yeah, but later on his teammates were saying, yeah, he maybe could have gone down, but go ahead and put up the points.
Yeah, it was the right call at that point. I have trouble trying to tell a running back not to score. I understand why, because if you can own the clock at the end, then it's better than getting in the end zone. But we train these guys, and these guys train to be, I should say, people that get into the end zone, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, take a knee at the one. I just found that really interesting.
You remember when Jared Goff was coming out?
Yeah.
And you remember, coming out of Cal and Hugh Jackson and the dinner and all that stuff? And the word was the Browns were going to try and get him.
How'd that work out?
He goes to the Rams, and the Rams weren't patient. They traded him for Matthew Stafford, which worked for the Rams. They won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, Matthew Stafford's on the back nine. And I say back not being funny, because he's had some back issues. But Jared Goff is a pretty good quarterback now. And, that's a California guy who drafted by the Rams, and he ends up in Detroit. And it looks like he's getting dispatched to the middle of nowhere to a team that's no good.
Yeah, it did feel that way when he got traded.
And look how it's worked out for him. Right guy finds the right spot with the right coach.
You know how many years he's been there?
In Detroit?
Yeah.
I'll bet five.
Yeah, it's his fifth season.
Yeah.
Feels kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, time flies, doesn't it?
Well, they've done what I want the Browns to do. They signed David Montgomery in free agency, coming out of Chicago, and you thought, oh, all right, David's going to go up there and be the man. Then they turned around and drafted Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. It's like, oh, wait a minute, what are you going to do with David Montgomery? Because if Gibbs is going to be your guy, then you just spend a lot of money on a guy you're not going to use. Oh, no.
They figured out a way.
They figured out a way to do the Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner. To do the Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris. Go with two running backs, give them the ball, and let them do the job. And they're both really good. And they complement each other very well. And then, Andy, they hit on skill position guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, was there when the Browns took Anthony Schwartz. Browns missed. St. Brown has become a really good player, really good wide receiver. They bring in Jameson Williams. He took a little while. He's finding himself. And then you get Sam Laporta, a really good tight end. You know, where the Browns have questions at wide receiver and at running back, and hopefully not for very long at running back. I think Quinshon Judkins is on his way to answering those questions. But the Lions went out and just took care of it. You know, they put assets at skill positions. And I think they're a perfect example of how it pays off. They're tough to stop, yet they're built to stop you. I mean, that's a football team.
I just look at this game as extremely tough. It's in Detroit. I do think there is a part of me that knowing Detroit's coming off a Monday night game may help the Browns a little bit, especially in the fourth quarter. But I still, this is going to be an unbelievable challenge. It's a matter of two things. Like, I just think the Browns somehow, some way, have got to find a way to get to 20 points. That doesn't guarantee a win, but just get to 20, 21 points in a game. This is ridiculous. It really is.
I would love to make some smart guy comment and say, way to set the bar high, except for one thing.
It's truthful. That is a high bar.
It is truthful. That's a shame, Andy. You're accurate.
I just don't know how a team can go this many weeks without being able to get to 20, 21 points.
They've scored 16, 17, and 13 points, folks.
Do you want me to go back to last year? Because I really don't want to.
No, please don't. Chris is in Chicago. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Gentlemen.
Hey.
Good show so far this morning.
Oh, well,
good.
We're hoping we can meet your satisfaction.
You are just
later
putting
on.
A lot of pressure on us for the end of the show. Yeah.
Just kidding.
We can screw it up.
Yeah, we're good at that.
We have.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I just had a comment. I feel bad about DeJuan Jones obviously being out for the rest of the year. But and I don't know what the whole heat management thing was before he got hurt. That was disappointing, too. So, and then Mike Hall not being available. I don't know, like, I'm just disappointed in availability on some of these guys.
Zach Center, you want to go into that one, too? Where are some of these guys?
And he's like a healthy scratch. So, while this year's draft class for Barry has been, honestly, you know, great so far, it's a lot of misses, and I don't know, just like any thoughts on these linemen, and I want to
you're not saying a lot of misses on the current class. This current class is pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
Yeah, okay.
No, great. Except for the two QBs, but that's a story for another day. But,
well, I mean, they're backups. Are you expecting your third and fifth round? I don't.
I know what you're saying. I would have maybe, and this has been killed, of course, since the draft, I would have used that other third round pick for something else. But whatever.
Offensive lineman?
Yeah, there you go. Yes, offensive lineman. But so what are your thoughts on, I mean, even when DeJuan Jones, I think I did the math, out of a possible 54 games, has played 24, something like that. So he's just not been available. Mike Hall, is there any news on Mike Hall other than being scratched every week? And then Zach Zinner's a healthy scratch. So, I don't know.
Kevin gets asked about it every time he walks by the microphone. It's always the same thing. Well, let's see what happens.
I'm really anxious to see Mason Graham next to Mike Hall. I think I'm going to have to be patient, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I think I am. Andrew Siciliano calls Browns games on the Browns Radio Network. And he also joins us and has for years. He's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.